Hello everyone, welcome to the Pinkham.com Norwich City podcast. My name is Michael Bailey. I'm with Paddy Davitt, Chief EDP and Correspondent covering the Canaries, and Head of News, Ian Clark, big Norwich City fan of course. We are reflecting on Norwich City's latest defeat in the Championship, 1-0 to Derby this time around. Clark, let's get your thoughts first, shall we, this time? Because me and Paddy have probably been through it a lot over the last few podcasts. Defeat number 5 in the league. Alec Neil's still in charge, of course, and we'll be heading into Saturday's game at Brentford. Where do you stand on everything? Just sum it all up and then we don't have to talk, you see.
Well, I think if anybody had said in August that we'd be staring 5 defeats and, you know, on the spin, no one would have believed them. I'd got pretty high hopes at the start of the season we're going to do well. So that's really, really grim. I mean, I've said for a couple of weeks now, probably since Brighton, that I think it's time for Neil to go. So I keep being proved wrong by the board, who are obviously sticking with him. I mean, it's just, you know, 5 defeats. What is it? No clean sheets for 15 games, 2 points against top 8 sides, which, you know, if you're going to be challenging up there, you've got to be beating the teams around you, or at least not losing to them. Not a particularly upbeat, normally fairly cheery Canary, to be honest.
And it's, for me now, the one thing is a look at the table, Pad, because Norwich are 2 points outside the top 6. It's not like they're just flitted outside. They're now 2 points outside. And there are teams above them playing very well. Sheffield Wednesday look like they've hit a bit of form. Reading, I think, are on a 5 game. They're actually matching Norwich's run in defeats, but they're doing it in terms of victories. And of course, that's without mentioning Newcastle and Brighton. So to me, that worries me. And it should worry them, shouldn't it, considerably?
To be honest, it's the end product from not being able to play anywhere near that potential for that group of players. So, you know, that it's only really the fact that they had the points on the board that has insulated them to a degree for the last few games. But yeah, well, I think we've now reached a point where if they're losing games now, then they're losing ground as well, whereas before they'd almost had credit in the bank, as it were, in terms of points on the board. But yeah, well, ultimately the only way that is going to change and they're going to actually start looking up the table rather than down it is change on the pitch and the way it increasingly looks, and Clarkie's touched on it there, probably a change in the dugout as well, because admittedly they were better at Derby, but you know, the end result was still a 1-0 defeat, and sod's law that it was Mr Johnson who applied the final nail, as it were, on that shift. So yeah, I mean, ultimately Brentford always looked to me, to my mind anyway, when we went into the international break, it could be a make or break game, and I think it's probably going to be.
Yeah, I agree that I felt that you'd always get these 2 games away from home and it would take some sort of event at Carrow Road to sort of decide things. Again, it might not be the case, but I guess we'll come on to Brentford in a bit, shall we? Where do we stand on the fact that, as you mentioned, Pad, Norwich were better at Derby, certainly for me, the first 30 minutes, although what you ended up seeing was maybe some of the issues we had before they became terrible. You know, the issues of being not having that cutting edge and the odd defensive frailty, they were almost back to that point as opposed to the disaster that the last few months have been. So does that show that the players on the pitch, does it show that the players are still there backing the manager? Because the last few games it looked like they'd just been like, no thanks.
Well, you sort of hope so, and that should be the absolute minimum, shouldn't it? You know, learning how to fight in the Championship. I mean, they're all players that should have either done it or should know how to do it. It's not rocket science. And I suppose there's the argument that if you're playing better and still losing, then that's a bad sign, as opposed to teams where, you know, you're not playing brilliantly but you're still grinding results out. So that's another, you know, not great sign for me. And as Paddy said, you know, earlier in the, you know, not that many weeks ago, we were top, and, you know, a couple of bad results, and, you know, you can still say, well, we're still second, and then they were still third, and then we're still in the playoffs, and, you know, only 9 points now above the relegation zone, and, you know, I clearly don't think we're going to get dragged into that mire, but it doesn't take too many more to start, you know, you then become mid-table, and you've got no hope of going up, which is miles from where we should be.
It is indeed, and I guess putting it into context, I remember Bruce Rioch, when he took over as manager here years and years ago, he said, basically, if you want to go up automatically, you can only afford to lose 10 games. Mm-hmm. I think 5 games in the first half of the season, 5 games in the second, 10 games all season. Watford 2 years ago did it, losing 11. But Norwich have already lost seven. So that by that account, we are not even in December yet, although we will be very soon, of course. Norwich have got basically 3-4 defeats to afford themselves. And it's a long way from Alec Neil talking about how he wanted to get points on the board so they'd have a buffer. I mean, and it was about context. We talked about this after the game, Paddy, didn't we? That, you know, the context of Saturday's game would have probably been fine in isolation. You'd have put it down to one of those days, but it's not about that, is it?
No, ultimately. And that's why it was pretty clear again, my timeline anyway, that straight after the game, that there wasn't really too many putting a context around those 90 minutes. It was more, well, this is another link in the chain, unfortunately. And, you know, I fear I'm going to just keep repeating myself now. It's almost got to that stage where something has to change. There has to be a spark. And whether that's on the pitch with that set of players or whether it's in the dugout, I don't really care now. It's basically something needs to happen, you know, in terms of arresting the decline and trying to actually fulfil the potential of this group of players. I said at the start of the season, top six. This group of players should be in the top six. You know, if they have a good season and things clicked and players played above themselves, a la, to bring it back to Bradley Johnson that season where he had an unbelievable flow to his game, and then maybe top two. But I never really thought top two was realistic, I'm afraid. But top six with that set of players, that should be the benchmark. And as it stands, they're going to be nowhere near it.
And it comes up a lot, doesn't it? How good the squad is. They've done it before, so they should be able to do it again. But it doesn't work like that, does it? To me, they're 2 years older than when they last did it. And a lot of that squad, it's an ageing squad. You look at that team that's being put out, primarily because the young players that have been brought in aren't being played. And that's a whole other debate that I know that you've started off with Alec Neil before recently too, Pad. So, is John Reddy as good as he was 2 years ago? Russell Martin, Alex Tetti looks pale shade, I think if that's the right term, of the player he was 2 years ago.
They would have been the three I'd have picked out of not what they were. I mean, Reddy to me doesn't look agile, doesn't look fit, looks, you know, doesn't get down as well as he should do. Russell Martin, you know, I've always liked him, and he's obviously a great guy, but when it comes to the crunch, I don't think he's up to it. I mean, he certainly wasn't up to Premier League, and now, you know, the speed there is and the agility a lot of players have got, is he able to keep with that? I don't think he is. I mean, one of the key things for me, which I wrote about in my column last week, was the team spirit. You know, I don't see those players really gelling, really working for each other, fighting for each other. You don't see that real cohesion among the unit. They seem to be a whole load of players that bumble along, whoever gets picked that particular week, and there isn't that, what you'd see as a real unit that, you know, lives together and dies together in footballing terms.
I mean, I'm not even going to dig in terms of the criticism, because it's not even about whether they're past it, or it's just the level. They're not quite at that level from 2 years ago, when you've got a lot of teams, and we saw Derby had a decent team out on Saturday. They've got quite a bit of quality themselves there. There's a few players there who'll say, well, I fancy playing in the Premier League. I think I could do that. You know, and that's, Brighton are still below Norwich at the moment, as are Aston Villa. Yeah, they're both coming up on the rails, and that's ignoring the teams that are above them in the table at the moment as well.
There's no doubt, if Norwich had played, would that team he put on the pitch Saturday, if they played to their potential, they would have got something from the game, and you hope they would have got a win. They didn't offer anything as an attacking force. Wes Hoolan, very poor in possession. I think it's time Pritchard got a run now in that number 10 role for me. Jerome, he's symptomatic of the malaise at the minute. He doesn't look anywhere near being a goal threat. Naismith, you could talk about him for hours and hours. Jacob Murphy isn't the player he was at the start of the season. So it's not just, and you can see what's happened for the last 2 weeks, they've just clearly drilled themselves defensively, and it's all about stopping leaking goals, and it's almost now they need to turn their attentions again to the top end of the pitch. So that's the problem, really. It's a malaise. I've used that word a few times of late. It isn't one thing. It isn't, right, you two centre-backs, we're going to actually train you into the ground so that you can defend properly, and then everything else is perfect and hunky-dory, and we'll crack on. It's multiple faceted issues, and really, the manager doesn't look like he's got a grip on enough of them that this is going to turn anytime soon. So, as Clark rightly says, as you rightly say, you can talk about individual players, about whether they're at the levels they were previously. But to me, it's just a malaise. And the only way it changes is a change of manager, end off.
And is the issue that this malaise that isn't just restricted to Colney, that it's sort of dragging itself up into the boardroom? We had the AGM, which was a pretty, you know, it was a lively affair. It was a very well-populated affair. There were a lot of people there too, and there is heat on the boardroom as much as there is on the players and on the manager.
Yeah, and in the ballroom as well as the boardroom. I've been practicing that one. Yeah, I mean, and often these things snowball, don't they? So when you've got one area that's going wrong and something else happens, and it just sort of spirals into all parts of it. You know, the fans obviously then become a lot more down, and you know, you then get the fractions there are, and the friction there is between players and fans, and obviously, you know, you then get the media brought into it and all that sort of stuff. It's just a general feeling that it's just not getting any better.
And you touched on the team spirit. I mean, I don't for one moment think that them not doing their huddle before kickoff has any bearing on anything necessarily. But I can't work out the logic as to why you would stop doing it. At what point do you go, oh, well, we don't need to do that anymore? Like, why? I don't, because they've done it for years. And other teams, Derby did it on Saturday. Like, why would you stop doing it? Has someone decided not to, or...?
I mean, I'm a fairly simple fan, really. And before a game,
you said it, Clark.
I am, unashamedly. And if I see those players, you're absolutely right, if I see them in a huddle and, you know, coming out, a little bit of the high five, a little bit of the fist pump, and you think, well, at least they're starting on the right foot. Whereas if they're not together, and if they sort of, you know, take the tracksuits off, have a kick around, you know, play with the ball boys, and then, you know, and then sort of take up their positions and then start. And if they haven't had that togetherness, you're absolutely right. Why isn't that happening? I don't know if somebody's said or they just got out of the habit of it.
Well, never know. You know, Celtic do it and everyone gets all very excited when Celtic do it. But there we go. Let's get some bumper reaction, shall we? Here is Alec Neil, Sebastian Vasong and Bradley Johnson. You wouldn't want to miss this one through a ban, would you? I mean, out of all of them.
No, definitely not. You know, as I keep on saying, Norwich will always be in my heart. You know, I looked at this fixture at the beginning of the season and I wasn't playing at the beginning of the season. I was thinking I need to be in there and play, but no, it was good to play against all my mates, and obviously I got a good reception from the fans and I gave them one back, so it was a good game for me.
I was going to say, it's not often you get all four sides of a ground singing your name, is it, really?
Yeah, no, it was good, as I keep on saying, you know. Norwich fans were terrific for me when I was at the club, and still now I've left the club, I think they're still good for me, but as I said, Norwich will always be in my heart, and I thank them fans, and sorry the way it went today, it was bound to happen, I was bound to score today, but no, they're good fans, and I'm sure the team will turn it around and get them back winning.
I thought it was a really tightly fought game. I thought my team worked extremely hard. You know, I've been critical of them when I think they've deserved criticism, and I don't think I could criticise any of them today. I thought they worked really, really hard in the game. I think the game was decided with a deflected shot from outside the box. We had two real strong penalty shots, one in the second half in particular. It's a surprise to me it wasn't given. I've watched it back numerous times and it was definitely a penalty. And then obviously we probably had the best chance of the game with Stephen going through one-on-one with Scott Carson. He makes a good save. And I just think at times when things aren't probably going your way, sometimes it kicks you in a bit in the gut. And I think that was certainly the case today.
I mean, obviously if this carries on, the manager's job is going to be under serious threat, isn't it? You guys must know that if this happens, then the manager will pay for that, won't he?
That's, as you say, that's how the football industry is. But I think we show in the past that Norwich is a really clever, understanding club. You know, performance, the manager, in football, manager pays for people poor players' mistake. But I think we're in the same boat, and the manager is the right man for the job. That's what he's doing. You know, we went through a bad time. As I said, we're on our way back up, and the season is long. I know that, and in a couple of games, we're not going to talk about it anymore. So, because I know in a couple of games, things are going to be totally different. So I see you there.
I was going to say, Bradley, I mean, Bradley Johnson, you could have written that before the game, I suppose. Or we could have, maybe not you. Yeah, but, I mean, no. You know what Bradley does.
Yeah, Bradley. Of course, I had a sense couple of phone calls before the game with Brad. And Brad's he's a good friend of mine. And, yeah, he's the last one. I wanted him to score. So I'll get a couple of sticks tonight from him. But that's how it happened. If someone was going to score, it would have been him. That's good for him. Unlucky for us. But life goes on.
Welcome back to the Pinken.com podcast. Before we get back to the discussion, think you're the best at fantasy football? Do not wait until the end of the season to find out. Put your fantasy football knowledge to the test, people, and win cash every week at DraftKings.co.uk. Apparently, DraftKings is the world's number one destination for one-day fantasy football for cash. Now, you can go to DraftKings.co.uk/pink now to pick a team and enter this Saturday's contest for a shot at winning a share of $200, which I would imagine is probably worth more in terms of pounds now than when whoever wrote this down wrote it down. So get in there. That is the address, DraftKings.co.uk/pink, to play free. Ah, Bradley Johnson, Paddy. Has anything ever been... more predictable?
No, that's fairly symptomatic of where things are at the minute, that he would sweep home. I don't know, has he scored for Derby yet already? Probably. No, was that
his first goal of the season? I think he'd scored last season for them.
Right, fair enough. He kind of knew it was going to be that script, rather than he was anonymous and Norwich showed they didn't really need him. Reality is they do need him in this environment. He'd be perfect for what they haven't got, sadly. But I wrote about it. I've got no issue. The logic was sound in that setting where Norwich were, where he was, what they were being offered, what he'd done for them so far, what he wasn't going to do in the Premier League. Excellent business. But the reality is time moves on for all parties concerned, and now Norwich didn't capitalise on what they were trying to do in the Premier League. They could do with him now, and ultimately, what more to be said? Really, you know, he's clearly proven again. If anybody was in any doubt that he can influence a game in the Championship, I don't think he's nailed down into Derby's first team. From what I can gather, reading between the lines, I think McLaren still needs a bit of convincing. So it'll be interesting just to see from here to the end of the season how big a part he has to play, really. But he certainly played a big part Saturday.
Yeah, they've got George Thorne coming back, who basically plays in that role. And I think Bradley mentioned that to me, that, well, you know, hopefully I'll stay in the team. So he's not entirely convinced. And it wasn't like he was a world beater on Saturday or anything. The problem was, for all the bits that Ali Neal replaced or improved on, as he felt, when they sold Bradley Johnson, they didn't. Robbie Brady's a completely different character to Bradley Johnson. Mm-hmm. And they haven't replaced Bradley Johnson's character, and it's like it's actually glaringly obvious now that they just do not have that.
I was, again, as well as being a simple fan, I'm a bit old fashioned, and I like that sort of real, you know, bullish general, you know, fighter in the middle, and he clearly gave that, and we should have moved on from him and not even thought about him anymore. But the fact we're all still talking about him, we're talking about him before the game. I mentioned him in a column last week. The only thing I got wrong was the fact that he was going to get booked, and he didn't. But it's just symptomatic of the fact that we haven't moved on, that is where we're at, and we're still missing him, which is crazy.
That said, we did have a bit of bite in midfield, didn't we? I know Norwich had an extra man in there for big spells, but Yusuf Malumbu, his first outing in a long time, certainly his first start, and although he looked leggy, first half, we've seen glimmers there, and I know you've been quite vocal about the midfield mix over recent weeks too. But
to me, that's the issue. You know, I know there is a lot of talk, and rightly so, about defensively, but what protection have they had in the last month from Dorans and Tete? You've touched on it there, Michael. Tete isn't the player he was, and Dorans doesn't offer you that. That's not what he's in the side to do. So for my mind, it was just a coaching horses. Every game that we've played in this last month, Norwich have basically lost the central areas, and if you lose the central areas at any level, but particularly in the Championship, more often than not you're going to lose games, and that's why that back four has been exposed so badly and so regularly. You didn't see that, bar the goal, sadly, but I think a lot of that was down to the tank had been emptied by Malumbo. You know, Alex Neil said he'd trained 1 week in the last 2 months, and he's had to put him straight back in. So, and in that intensity of a game, he was always going to catch up with him. But and sadly, they paid the price. But while he was able to get around the pitch, I thought him and Tete, they did set the tone. They were aggressive in their pressing. It was almost like the rest of the team bought into that. And as a unit, they looked far more willing to sort of engage. And if you can do that side of it, I don't think there's anybody would doubt, even if this squad isn't as good as people like to portray it, that they have enough quality to win games. But if you don't put the groundwork in, you're not going to win any games at all in this league. So, yeah, if there was one positive moving forward, it was those two. But I do fear, with now Dorans having served his suspension and Alex Neil being such a big fan, that Brentford comes around, we'll see Dorans back in the centre of the midfield. Would not want to see that.
Well, he might have an excuse, because Alex Tete's hip injury forced him off in the second half. Cameron Jerome, back injury as well. Paddy, I mean, they're two injuries they could really do without, I suppose. Or are they? Or maybe slinging Carl Tomorris. Or Kyle Lafferty could get a start. Not that we saw much of him for the second half on Saturday.
Yeah, no, I'm not in the pro Lafferty camp, if I'm honest. I've never seen him do too much in a Norwich shirt. Admittedly, he's not had a lot of opportunity, but I'd rather see Oliveira. If Jerome's not fit, I'd rather see Oliveira play, and Pritchard directly behind him, and that keep Naismith wide left. Of course, that won't happen, because now Olsen's served his suspension. Brady will get pushed further forward again, because Brady is his man, as Dorans is. And this is the issue, I think. There's too many of you are going to be in that side, come what may. And I don't think they've justified what they're doing on the pitch to be in that side week in, week out. If Louis Thompson is fit, it's a big if, I'd have him in before Dorans, if Tete isn't fit, and play him alongside Malumbu. That's what I would go with, but it's the manager's call. And this could be the biggest team selection of his Norwich career.
Ain't that the truth? A couple of penalty shouts. Have you seen them, Clarkey?
I haven't, no. I heard that they were good calls, though.
I have to be honest, I haven't seen a replay of them. You seen a replay?
No, there was no video footage of the Jacob Murphy one, when to the naked eye, it looked like Butterfield had clipped him, but with that official, I doubt Norwich were going to get too many favours.
Yeah, Mr. Hooper, although, you know, he did rule out a high foot against a Derby player in the first 20 minutes or something, which caused mild amusement for that time of the day. Brentford then, this is effectively a game Norwich have to win for Alec Neil's future. We're going to, I mean, in this situation, Carrow Road will have its say, depending on how things go, won't they?
I think the way the board's talking at the moment, I can't see if it was a draw that they would sack him. But I mean, for me, it's, you know, as much as a must-win game can be in the beginning of December, I think there's got to be that victory to get things back on track. Or else, you know, if it was a draw or defeat, you've then got, you know, Barnsley away, and then you've got those, you know, biggish games coming up. Villa's not too far around, too far away. Is it Huddersfield's not too far away?
No, they are the two next
coming up.
So, I mean, they're huge games, and I think, I mean, personally, I feel like it's when, not if. So it's like a stays of execution at the moment for me.
As in what, the manager?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, it is at the minute, isn't it? But as I wrote about today, I mean, as much as there is clearly a loyalty and an affection from the ownership to the manager, they will have to be a divorce. If he is incapable of winning a football game, I'm sorry, at some point, then even the board will have to decide that it has to be a part in other ways, and it will be done with much sadness. That's clear. That's evident. But do they really want to range themselves against a support base who clearly do not feel he is the man to take them forward? So, aside from the whole financial dimension, where if this club isn't back in the Premier League in the next 2 years with this current ownership, I think you're set for a long period in the Football League, sadly. So that's the clock. The clock is ticking. And obviously we have January, more pertinently, or just around the corner. A new man would need to come in, be able to assess what he's got and what he could potentially do in the window. So we're rapidly approaching that point now, the point of no return, if you want to call it that.
I guess, yeah. And Paddy mentioned it earlier, it's going to be such a big team selection for Alec Neil. I mean, there are a lot of players who have sort of been pulled out of it. Clark, is there anyone you want to see come back?
Well, obviously Tim Close is the name on a lot of fans' lips. You know, is it just that Neil doesn't think he's up to it at the moment? Is there something we don't know? I don't know. But, you know, someone who not long ago was being talked about as, you know, the first name on the sheet, if you like, is on the bench. And he's hardly got, you know, two world-class guys keeping him out. So, yeah, does he bring him back? How much does he keep chopping and changing his back line?
I just desperately hope that the board's assertion in their heads that Alan Hill is the right man, he's done it before, he'll do it again, we'll stick by him, doesn't mean that they have completely abandoned all thought about what happens if it goes wrong. You'd like to think. Obviously, we've had a few stories about Roy, well, one story about Roy Hodgson over the weekend from the Daily Star, so I'm sure they have a handle on it, but it probably wouldn't take over. I think we probably said that for about 2 weeks, so there we go. Yeah, but that's the way it goes, isn't it? All right, well, let's wrap it up, because feel like we've ended up saying the same things, but you know, that's the situation. Maybe we'll all have egg on our face in a few months' time, in the words of Sebastian Vasong. When it's all changed, I'll see you then. There we go. Yeah, quite. All right, Clarky, thank you very much. Paddy, as always, we'll be at Brentford, of course. There'll be live coverage, pinken.com/live, and the website will have all the build-up you could possibly need. The Pinken Show is on Mustard TV on Wednesday night too, and of course you've got this podcast. We'll stick a couple of interviews maybe up there during the course of the week from the weekend, so you can hear them in full. Till then, we'll see what we get at Brentford. Get your boos or cheers ready. Bye.